Welcome to this special coverage of Governor Tony Evers' State of the State Address, live from the Wisconsin State Capitol, and brought to you by the Civic Media Network of radio stations.
News Director Terry Bell is covering the address from the Assembly Chamber, and Todd Alba joins him from our studios, providing you with a comprehensive breakdown of the governor's address. Important information you won't find anywhere else.
Our State of the State coverage begins now, live on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our coverage of the State of the State Address. I'm Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, and many of these other stations here on the Civic Media World Headquarters. And we're going to be joining Terry Bell in just a minute, our new Civic News
State
Director.
State Treasurer, John
Right now,
Leiber.
Some introductions happening in the chamber. And maybe just turn down the volume of the spotlight cast there just for a second. Very good. And Terry, welcome back. You are live in the chamber right now. Give us a flavor of the room from the State Capitol.
Members
live.
Of the State Supreme Court, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley.
Good to be with you. Sitting through the introductions, as you mentioned just moments ago, a lot of people are recognized at this. Members of the Supreme
Justice
Court,
Patience Rogensack,
members, different legislative leaders. Very much a normal part of this ceremony happening. That's the ceremonial part of the
Justice
speech.
Brian
we'll get
Hagedorn.
Down to the nuts and bolts soon enough. But now is very much the applause lines.
Right, exactly. And just kind of working on the volumes here, trying to get the volume of the crowd down just a little bit and your volume up, so we should be all set to go now. But you've been through a lot of these. You've been in the news business a long time. I've been in the chamber as well. The Supreme Court has been introduced, and those members are there. The State Senate then follows them into the chamber. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of excitement. It's the one time when the chambers are both, there's at least a moment of bipartisanship, right? They try to get along.
It certainly feels that way. It's the night that makes you feel that people could, you know, work together and cooperate. There's much discussion about that happening. Of course, once we get into the nuts and bolts of the lawmaking is when definitely the discussion, the debates will happen. But tonight is largely a night for unity.
Sounds great. It really is a night for unity. As I said, a lot of pomp and circumstance right now. The chamber is the biggest chamber in the Capitol, the State Assembly Chamber. All 99 members are supposed to be there. Earlier tonight, 92 members of the Assembly are currently there.
The governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
And there is the announcement. The governor, Tony Evers, the 46th governor of the state of Wisconsin, being introduced. He has just started his second term and coming into the chamber.
All right, that was quick. Everybody pay attention here. The joint convention shall come to order. The chair recognizes the assembly sergeant at arms.
Mr. President and members, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
And there is the official announcement. It was Senator and the President of the Senate, Chris Kapinga, at the head of the joint session. And now the governor making his way into the room and down through the aisle, the center aisle. Republicans to the left of the governor as he walked in, Democrats to the right, through the middle of the assembly chamber. The senators are located on the aisles, mostly. The governor being escorted looks like Senator Brad Path, a Democrat of La Crosse, and Republican Van Wongard. Traditional that a Republican and a Democrat both escort the governor into the assembly chambers. Governor shaking hands on both sides of the aisle as he makes his way down the middle of the assembly chamber. Terry, does it appear that both Republicans and Democrats are on their feet there this evening?
Plenty of people have taken their seats. I assume that the Democrats are standing, the Republicans are sitting.
It appears that, yeah, a little bit of both, a little bit of bipartisanship there. So that's good to see. Governor looking, I'm always a big judge of appearance a little bit. These are not only broadcast on the radio, as we're doing here, but also streamed on television. And, of course, many prints and photographs will be taken for newspaper headlines tomorrow. The governor looking particularly well-dressed and natty tonight, looking in a good mood, looking healthy, looking rested, and ready to go as he makes his way onto the dais there. Still shaking the leadership of the Supreme Court and then the leadership of the Wisconsin State Senate as well. Going now towards the press gallery a little bit, towards Terry's area, and now making his way up onto the dais to give his speech. Governor Tony Evers, the 46th governor of Wisconsin, this is his fifth State of the State address.
At this time, I introduce to you the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Tony Evers.
And there it is, another standing ovation, particularly by Democrats. Not a lot of Republicans on this second introduction standing up, mostly Democrats. And here is the 46th governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, for his State of the State address.
Good evening, Wisconsin, honorable Supreme Court justices, our great tribal nation leaders, constitutional officers, Major General Knapp, members of the Wisconsin National Guard, and active and retired members of our armed forces, cabinet members, Senate President Kapenga, Majority Leader Lemieux, Minority Leader Agar, Speaker Voss and Minority Leader Neubauer, legislators, distinguished guests, and to all of the Wisconsinites joining us, whether you're here tonight or where you're in the gallery or watching from home, thanks so much for being here tonight. I'm Tony Evers, and I'm proud to be standing here tonight as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin to deliver my fifth State of the State address. And it's good to be back. It's good to be back. My son Nick and his wife Landa are with us tonight. And my former kindergarten classmate Kathy is up in the gallery. We celebrated our 50th. We celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary last year, and this year we'll be celebrating our 54th year of going to the Wisconsin State Fair together. How about that, Kathleen, Francis? Thank you so much for your relentless support, understanding, really good humor, and insight. I love you so much. Thank you. On May 29, 1848, President Polk, signed a bill making Wisconsin a state. That means in 2023, we'll be celebrating Wisconsin's 175th birthday, and I'm proud to report to you tonight that in 175 years of statehood, our state has never been in a better fiscal position than it is today. When we began our work together 4 years ago, our roads and bridges were in disrepair. We'd sent back tens of millions of dollars of your tax dollars to Washington, D.C. that could have been used to expand high-speed internet. Our school rankings dropped to 18th in the country at one point. Support for our university system had been cut by hundreds of millions of dollars. And our state was not actively working to address climate change or invest in clean energy. Well, I am proud to say that the state of our state is much different today. We've gotten to work fixing the darn roads. I even helped fill some of those potholes by myself, by the way. It's not a full-time job for me. And I stand here tonight, I'm proud to report we've worked together to repair and improve over 5,800 miles of roads and nearly 1,600 bridges across our state. We've also gotten back on track preparing our state and our workforce and our economy for this century. For the last 4 years, we've allocated more than $340 million into expanding high-speed internet, more than any other administration in our state's history. More than 387,000 homes and bridges will have new or improved access to reliable high-speed internet, and I want to double that number by the end of this term. And together we will do that. We've also created the Council on Health Equity and charged them with preparing a blueprint for reducing and eliminating health disparities across our state. We created the state's first ever plan to respond to and mitigate the effects of climate change. I signed an executive order creating the first ever Office of Environmental Justice to develop strategies that will help us address disparate impacts of climate change in communities across the state. Our state now has a clean energy plan with strategies to help lower energy bills for working families, reduce our reliance on out-of-state energy sources, invest in job training and apprenticeship programs in innovative industries and technologies, and create an estimated more than 40,000 jobs by 2030. I've also kept my promises. I vetoed every bill before me that restricted reproductive freedom. Excuse me. We've also delivered a 10% tax cut for working families. We increased investments in our public transit and our university system and technical college. We've convened a Blue Ribbon Commission to help develop solutions and create opportunities for Wisconsin's veterans. And last October, we took the commission's recommendations and announced $10 million to support veterans' mental health, create a rental assistance program for homeless veterans, and to expand veterans' access to skills and job training. We've gotten to work these last 4 years making smart, strategic investments, and our state's economy shows it. For the last 4 years, unemployment has hit record lows. We've had the highest number of people employed ever. Our state has a AAA bond credit rating for the first time in about 40 years. That means we're able to get lower interest rates and save your tax dollars. Our general fund and rainy day fund both ended last fiscal year, at the highest levels ever in our state's 175-year history. We're now expected to end the current biennium with about a $6.5 billion in our state coffers and over $1.7 billion in the rainy day fund. And that's great news, Wisconsin. It means we can continue our progress making the wise investments we've long needed to do. And not because anyone wants to make government bigger, but because Wisconsinites want a government that works and works better. We have roads and bridges to fix, schools to fund, kids to support, communities to keep safe, water to keep clean, and a future we built together after years of neglect that today we must work to protect. We've worked to invest in public education at every level after a decade of disinvestment. We passed the largest increase in special education aid in state's history. Our K through 12 schools have now returned to the top 10 in their country. But we also know our current system is not sustainable. For years, communities have raised their own property taxes to keep their local schools afloat. And while some school districts have successfully passed referenda to help keep the lights on, many have tried and failed. The system means drastic differences in outcomes for our kids, creating winners and losers, haves and have not. Doing what's best for our kids has always been what's best for our state, and today we can afford to do more. So I'm going to deliver on the promise I made before the election to use a portion of our state's historic surplus to make an historic investment in our kids and in our schools. Targeted investments to improve reading and literacy outcomes and expand financial literacy curriculum across our state. We're going to invest $20 million to increase literacy-related programming and implement evidence-based reading practices across Wisconsin. And our Do the Math initiative will help ensure our kids have the tools and skills to make smart budgeting and financial decisions to prepare for their future. And we're going to invest $20 million into recruiting, developing, and retaining teachers and student teachers, including $10 million for our local homegrown educators to bolster our educator pipeline and ensure it's sustainable for the future. We also have work to do to get our kids caught up from the past few years. We all want to improve outcomes and ensure our kids are prepared for success. I believe that together we will, and we'll start by making sure our kids can bring their full and best selves to our schools and to our classrooms. Now, we cannot overstate the profound impact that the past few years have had on our kids in many ways, and that includes their mental health. According to the Office of Children's Mental Health 2022 report, about one-third of our kids experience sadness and hopelessness, every day. That's every day, a 10% increase over the last decade. Kids in crisis are often distracted or disengaged in class, finish their homework, and won't be able to focus on their studies at home or at school. Improving student mental health can also improve student learning outcomes and school attendance while reducing bullying, risky behaviors, violence, involvement in the juvenile justice system, and substance misuse. So over the last year, we've doubled our investment in our Get Kids Ahead initiative, investing $30 million of our federal pandemic relief funds to provide every Wisconsin public school district with new resources to expand school-based mental health services. Tonight, I'm announcing we're going to make Get Kids Ahead a permanent state program, and we're investing more than $270 million to ensure every student has access to mental health services. The last few years have affected our kids' mental and behavioral health and adults' mental health, too. We've seen a record high opioid-related overdose deaths, and Wisconsin's 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline received 6,000 calls just in the first month of its launch this past July. The state of mental health in Wisconsin is a quiet, burgeoning crisis that I believe will have catastrophic consequences for generations if we don't treat it with the urgency it requires. Mental and behavioral health is as much of a health issue as it is an economic one. It affects kids in the classroom. It affects workers being able to join and stay in our workforce. It affects whether folks are able to stay in safe housing or have economic security. It affects folks' ability to take care of and provide for their family and loved ones. So tonight, I'm declaring 2023 the year of mental health. And together with our Get Kids Ahead initiative investment, we'll be making an overall investment of about $500 million to expand access to mental and behavioral health services for the people of Wisconsin. The 2022 report by the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute indicates that there are 440 people for each mental health provider in Wisconsin. And even before the pandemic, a 2019 report from the Institute indicated that 55 of Wisconsin's 72 counties have significant shortages of psychiatrists. So we're also going to invest in making sure we have adequate available mental health professionals who can provide the treatment Wisconsinites need across our state. We're going to invest in developing robust prevention strategies to reduce suicide, health self-harm, and other mental and behavioral health-related injuries. And that includes state resources to support 988, the new suicide and crisis lifeline, which went live in 2022, thanks to our Senator Tammy Baldwin, as well as increased support for peer-run and community-based services across the state. Mental health deals with everybody here, you know, not just this side also. We cannot look back 2 years from now as we prepare the next budget and wonder whether we should have done more and sooner to take good care of our mental health. Let's take this seriously and let's start today. Mental health is just one issue facing our state that needs urgent attention and action. I've also spent 4 years trying to get some folks, and some of them in this room, believing PFAS are a pressing threat to our state's economy and our health and our well-being and our way of life. I created the state's PFAS Action Council to prepare the state's first ever PFAS action plan. We set enforceable PFAS drinking and surface water standards for the first time ever. Attorney General Call and I have filed a lawsuit against more than a dozen defendants who we believe contributed to PFAS contamination and make sure Wisconsinites won't have to foot the bill for cleaning it up. I also directed $10 million that will help get PFAS, nitrates, and other harmful contaminants out of about 1,000 private wells in Wisconsin. Clean drinking water has been a priority for my administration from day one. We've also proposed efforts and resources and ideas to make headway on PFAS and other contaminants that have been obstructed, delayed, and outright rejected. So tonight, I implore you again to join us in this fight. The work we must do to address PFAS and other contaminants grows harder and more expensive with each day of delay. Partisan politics cannot keep getting in the way of this work while Wisconsinites worry about the water coming from their tap. Clean water must be a top priority from us, from PFAS to lead to nitrates, and it will be in my executive budget I'll announce next month. I'm proposing to invest more than $100 million to take a three-pronged approach to confronting PFAS across the state. We're going to increase PFAS testing, sampling, and monitoring statewide so that we can find these contaminants and get them out of the water. We're going to make more resources available to on-the-ground partners to respond to PFAS contamination when it happens. And we're going to work to increase awareness about the dangers of PFAS so folks can take steps to keep themselves and their loved ones safe. Whether it's PFAS and clean water, supporting our farmers and our agriculture industry, finding more district attorneys and public defenders, expanding access to affordable housing and childcare, every level of government must be working together to address the challenges facing our state. And the state must do its part if we want our local partners to help us with this important work. But we also know that for the last decade, local communities have been asked to do more with less. State aid has gone down while costs have gone up. While help from the state was cut by more than 9%, public safety costs have skyrocketed more than 16%. Communities across Wisconsin have made difficult decisions to cut critical services, including public safety. Last fall, I announced a plan to invest over $100 million to help our local governments fund essential services and communities across our state. And that includes a new $10 million program to help specifically fund public safety services like EMS, police, and fire. The bottom line for me has always been making sure our communities have the resources they need to meet basic and unique needs alike. But there are a lot of different ways we can find compromise to achieve that goal. And together we will. So as we keep working together on a plan, let's find common ground. I'm announcing tonight that I will work together on a budget provision that will send a total of up to 20% of the state's sales tax revenue back to our local communities for shared revenue. This commitment will ensure our communities will see growth in shared revenue in the future after years of state investment not keeping up with their community needs. And it means more than a $500 million more per year in new resources to invest in key priorities like EMS, fire and law enforcement services, transportation, local health and human services, and other challenges facing our communities. The state must fulfill its obligation to fund our communities, just like we must fully fund our public schools and invest in clean water. Our state and our economy and our workforce depend on these investments. At the same time, just because we're in the greatest fiscal position in the state's history doesn't mean we can afford to be careless. Wisconsinites have to work too hard and have gone through too much for us to return to austerity. Now is the time to stay prudent, to stay safe, smart, and be bold with reasonable investments to keep building a lasting legacy of prosperity. So cutting taxes is part of our agenda, just as it has been for the last 4 years. We've kept more money in Wisconsinites' pockets and delivered the largest tax cut in state's history. And we can do more. But I also want to be clear tonight, splurging $3.5 billion to hand out to big breaks to the wealthiest 20% of earners isn't responsible. It's a bit reckless. When we deliver tax relief, and we will deliver tax relief, we're going to do it responsibly by ensuring we can keep taxes low and now and in the future, and we'll do it without driving our state into debt or causing devastating cuts to priorities like public schools and public safety. Spending billions on a flat tax isn't a workforce plan or an economic development plan. We need to bolster the middle class. We need to maintain our economy's momentum. And we need to reduce barriers to work and recruit and retain talent to address our state's workforce challenges. We have a plan to responsibly address all three priorities, and we can begin here tonight. A key priority in our strategy for investing federal pandemic aid was supporting Wisconsin's small businesses, our workforce, and long-term economic development. And we are successful. A new 2023 report shows that the share of aid we received under the American Rescue Plan Act, Wisconsin ranks number one in the country for both the aid we directed to support businesses and aid we directed towards economic development. We invested more than $800 million to provide grants to tens of thousands of businesses to respond to and get through the pandemic, to make healthy and safe improvements, purchasing inventory, affording payroll and rent, and to keep the lights on. Through our successful Main Street Bounce Back grant program, I'm proud to announce tonight that we've helped more than 8,500 Wisconsin small businesses expand and move into vacant storefronts in communities across all 72 counties. If you travel around the state like I do, you can literally see the transformative impacts these investments have made in corridors and communities across Wisconsin. Take Fond du Lac, for example, right by where Kathy and I grew up in Plymouth. cheese capital of the world, by the way. Some things haven't changed much over the years, like Edith's right downtown in Fondy, where Kathy bought her first wedding, or her wedding, not her first wedding dress. Her first and last wedding dress, I hope. Good Lord. But other things have changed, even just in the last year alone. Monica, who owns a jewelry store in Fond du Lac, is one of those businesses that received one of our Main Street bounce back grants. Monica took a chance opening her store on a street in Fondy that at the time was surrounded.
We got your feed, Terry?
And we're waiting a new feed here. So Terry Bell, our news director on scene, having a little trouble with our feed there. If you could turn up your mic, Terry, we'll try to get that on for our listeners here. Standing by, we're listening to the
space,
and back to the governor's State of the State.
And this next one is good for everybody. When I visited Monica's shop, she told me I could never have done this in Florida or California. And she's probably right. But even 4 years ago, this dream might not have been impossible in Wisconsin either. When we began our work together, Wisconsin was among the worst states in the country for startup creations. But much like downtown Fondy, Wisconsin's changed a lot since then. Since 2019, we've seen significant increases in business startups. New business formations increased to more than 71,000, and that's a 42% increase between 2019 and 2021. And that was no accident, folks. Our economic recovery plan worked by design. We knew that small businesses make up more than 99% of Wisconsin businesses. We knew that small businesses employ nearly half of Wisconsin workers. We knew that small businesses are more than likely to hire locally, reinvest locally back into the community, buy their supplies locally. We fueled our economic recovery by harnessing the ingenuity and homegrown talent we already have right here in Wisconsin. It's why our focus must continue to be building our economy from the ground up, starting with our small businesses, our main streets, and the hearts of our community. Tonight, I'm excited to announce we're going to continue our Main Street Bounce Back program in my biannual budget with a $50 million investment to provide as many as 5,000 eligible businesses with grants up to $10,000 to help afford building repairs and improvements, lease and mortgage payments, and defray other expenses that can be a barrier to someone's dream becoming a successful business. We're also going to ensure that more than 8,500 small businesses who've already received Main Street Bounce Back grants continue to thrive by investing up to $5 million into providing technical assistance, mentorships, educational training to these small business owners to ensure they have the support they need to continue their success. Our homegrown innovators and entrepreneurs also need homegrown talent to support our local businesses and our local economies. And that's what has been a top priority for us these past 4 years. We had record high job numbers in 2022 in really important sectors like construction, wholesale trade, professional scientific and technical services, and transportation and utilities. Our registered apprenticeship program last year had the highest number of participants ever in our state history. And last year, we added 14 new career pathways to our youth apprenticeship program, construction, agriculture, health science, and science and health engineering. We made a groundbreaking investment in the three programs designed to address our state's post-pandemic workforce needs, including our Worker Advancement Initiative and our Worker Connection Program, which helped provide more skills training, career coaching, and connected unemployed workers with available jobs. We also recognize that we cannot solve our workforce challenges with a one-size-fits-all from Madison approach, but superior needs to support its local workforce and economy might be different from the needs in Platteville and Milwaukee or La Crosse or Marinette. So we created the Workforce Innovation Grant Program and invested in 27 local projects across our state to develop long-term locally based solutions that meet the unique needs of local communities and regions. One of those projects at Wisconsin Forestry Center at UW-Stevens Point is focused on developing the next generation of forestry professionals with a skills curriculum in K-12 schools to get more young people into this critical profession. Yay! Yeah, how about that? Another project with the Waupaca County Economic Development Corporation is expanding transportation services to make sure workers can get to work and around the clock, even third shift. Tonight, I'm announcing we're going to continue harnessing our local ingenuity through the Workforce Innovation Grant with a $100 million investment in my budget to keep developing new innovative ideas and locally based projects that will support our workforce and economic development based on what those communities and regions need. We're also going to invest $10 million in an initiative led by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to collaborate with industries in every sector of our state's economy to develop and implement initiatives to retain and attract talented workers. And you all notice, we also need investments in targeted industries that we know have been hit hard by the pandemic, including the healthcare industry. I'll propose a historic $50 million investment to bolster Wisconsin's healthcare workforce, to expand our long-term care providers, increase the number of mental health providers and psychiatrists, and expand the Wisconsin Nurse Educator Program to provide high-quality education for our future nurses. Finally, our state's clean energy plan provides a blueprint for skills training, apprenticeships, and creating good-paying, family-supporting jobs by investing in new innovative industries and technologies. So we're going to invest nearly $10 million to expand clean energy job training and re-employment and reducing barriers for folks joining our clean energy workforce. But there's another critical factor that affects our state's workforce, and I hear about it everywhere I go, no matter which corner of the state I'm visiting. 54% of Wisconsinites today live in a childcare desert, where there are few to no high-quality options for childcare in their neighborhood or their community. And even if there were a nearby childcare provider, it still might not be affordable for a working family. If we want to address our state's workforce challenges, we have to make sure childcare is accessible and affordable and together we will. So the first thing we're going to do to deliver on my promise to expand the Child and Dependent Care Credit, which will provide nearly $30 million in tax relief to more than 100,000 Wisconsinites. Through our Partner Up program, more than 200 employers from Prescott to Rivers are helping make childcare more affordable for their employees. We've also helped stabilize the childcare industry through our monthly childcare counts program, providing the financial stability providers needed to stay open and recruit and retain quality staff to care for our kids. All told, we helped more than 3,300 providers across the state keep their doors open, and we helped more than 22,000 childcare professionals stay employed or become employed, and we helped ensure care continuing for more than 113,000 kids across our state. That's a big deal, folks. That is a big deal. These two programs made a big difference in the lives of kids and working families across the state. But the reality is that the federal funds that support them won't last forever. So we'll be continuing these programs to keep childcare affordable and accessible in my budget. We're going to provide more than $340 million for childcare counts so providers can have the financial stability they need to keep the lights on, pay their workers fair, competitive wages, and continue to provide high quality care to kids across the state. We'll also be investing more than $22 million into the Partner Up program to expand partnerships between employers and childcare providers, because our employers are ready to play a role in ensuring workers have the access to affordable childcare, and we're ready to support them. Wisconsin, we face much work ahead of us, but there is much opportunity. We can do big things in our next 4 years together. And if we are inspired, not by power, but by partnership, if we are dedicated, not to selfish interests, but to self-sacrifice, if we can forge new paths, not through conflict, but through collaboration, then together we will. So let's get to work, folks. Thank you so much, and on Wisconsin. Thank you. UW Marching Band, take it away.
And there you have it, Governor Tony Evers in his fifth State of the State address, being serenaded as he goes out by the University of Wisconsin Marching Band. How can you end a speech with the band and not be excited about that? Perhaps the most exciting part of the speech there. I don't believe that the University of Wisconsin Marching Band has performed on the floor of either chamber in the Assembly or Senate since Fred Risser became the longest serving state legislator in America when Dale Schultz was the Senate Majority Leader, invited the University of Wisconsin Marching Band to come in and perform in the Senate. So nice to see the Marching Band of Wisconsin there on the Assembly floor today. Governor Tony Evers wrapping up his speech there. I don't know what your takeaway was. We're joined once again on the floor of the State Assembly in the chamber there by Civic News Media Director Terry Bell. Terry, my big takeaway, the headline would be for the Bill Clinton era, it was the economy, stupid. I heard it time and time again. What's your takeaway?
Well, certainly there is a lot of talk about the economy, and Todd, I don't know how well you can hear me.
We can hear you fine, Jerry.
Okay, excellent. That's good. The band is still going strong here. Yeah, quite a bit of talk about, first of all, the governor touted his own economic record. It talked about right now low unemployment, a record surplus, $1.7 billion in the state's rainy day fund and everything that he wants to do with that. So, and then laying out, giving us a bit of a preview of the state budget address, talking a lot about some of the things that he plans to do, introduce in the state budget, many of them economically geared. So we heard very little about anything else but what Tony Evers feels he has accomplished and what he wants yet to accomplish economically for Wisconsin.
Terry, I wanted to take just a minute to talk about the feel of the room here, because watching the video of this at the same time, it was remarkable to me, and I've been watching a lot of these, I've been participating in many of them in the state legislature, been watching State of the Union addresses at the congressional level in D.C. for years. I don't know that I've ever seen a speech by an executive, either the State of the State or State of the Union, where the opposition party sat nearly stone cold. No response almost whatsoever. And even now, as the University of Wisconsin marching band is playing Roll Out the Barrel, Republicans are standing there without even clapping. It's remarkable to me.
The optics are quite striking, Todd. I will say that. It's not unusual for the party of the governor to have a more enthusiastic response to the applause lines. But being here in the chamber, and I'm sure on television, it was quite striking the way that only one half of the room was standing up or applauding at any point in the speech until the UW marching band came on. That might give us a bit of a sense of what we can expect from this upcoming session. There was some feeling that the governor had momentum coming into this night, coming off a reelection, and Republicans not living up to the red wave election in November as had promised. So there was some feeling that maybe this might be a session of compromise, if for no other reason that it would be politically expedient. But tonight, the optics, my goodness, would not indicate that anybody is in of any mind to meet anybody halfway.
I have, you know, one of my former Republican colleagues who worked in both Washington, D.C. and in state government, been in it longer than I, and full disclosure, not one of my former bosses, but a friend who also worked in politics. And she, too, said she's never seen anything like it at any level for the opposition party of either party just to have basically no reaction on things like small business grants. I mean, these are issues, Terry, that you know that Republicans have held up for years, helping small businesses across rural areas of the state. How can you not even applaud for that?
I can't help but think that this was a coordinated plan, that there was some huddling going on before the speech and going, we're not going to apply for anything, because there was not even, I couldn't even indicate any spontaneous applause for any, even the most middle of the road proposals. So
even like Terry, when the governor mentioned the first lady of the state, I don't recall whether it was Jim Doyle as governor, as a Democrat, Republicans stood up, whether as the opposition party, whether it was Tommy Thompson introducing Sue Ann Thompson, and Democrats stood up. The first lady almost near, as always, in my opinion, in my recollection, gotten a standing ovation. Tonight, a few Republicans quietly applauded at their seat. They did not stand for the first lady of the state of Wisconsin. Astounding to me.
Perhaps we've seen what we can expect from the next several months.
Let's talk a minute as you await. I know you have State Representative Francesca Hong joining us here in a few minutes. Let us know when she is there, Terry. Let's talk. Let's talk a couple of minutes about the actual proposal: $270 million to get the kids ahead, mental health, and this is an issue that we've talked about on my show in the mornings here. I know the other hosts across Civic Media have talked about this, but the need for mental health issues, to address mental health issues, as we have a record number of shootings across the United States of America now, and mental health contributes to this. The governor tonight announced $270 million specifically for kids' mental health, $500 million, a half a billion dollars to go into the state's mental health, to address mental health across the state. It seems to me that the governor is dialed in on not only the local economies, but this issue of mental health, Terry.
And it's quite striking, too, because when we talk about what to do about gun violence, repeatedly what we hear the Republican response to this is, we need better mental health care. So here is the governor
proposing, you know, what some might argue is a very Republican solution to some of our problems. Not much of a response.
On the issue of clean water, this is an issue that one of our hosts, Kristen Bry, on As Goes Wisconsin, which can be heard across the Civic Media Radio Network from 11 until 2. Kristen had a guest on her show here this week, I believe, or last week, talking about PFAS. This is an issue, these microplastics, essentially. This is a statewide issue. And we're seeing this out in California and other states where you don't have clean drinking water for perhaps other reasons. Again, the governor announcing tonight $100 million is going to be in his budget to address PFAS issues across the state of Wisconsin.
And I think, you know, maybe this might be one thing that there might be some actual desire to compromise on. And we'll see that as it plays out. Again, rather striking, you know, kind of the tepid response to some of these seemingly issues that people you think might be able to get around.
Pat Kreitlow on Up North News in the mornings from 6 until 8 on Civic Media, and of course our flagship show, Devil's Advocate with Crudy and Dom in the afternoon, have repeatedly talked about shared revenue in this state. That is the money that taxpayers send to the state, and then we get returned to local governments to fund things like police protection, roads, this sort of thing. The governor announced tonight 20% of sales tax revenue back to locals in shared revenue. Again, it would seemingly, this should be a bipartisan issue. You would think that every legislator would want money going back to the locals and they could take credit for it.
Yeah, you would certainly think so, wouldn't you?
you would think. Small businesses, $50 million for the Bounce Back Main Street program, again, to help businesses get back on their feet. $100 million, the governor announcing tonight for the Workforce Initiative Grant program for jobs. Again, a huge focus tonight by Governor Tony Evers on that, on jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. We heard a lot about jobs, about job training and things that the governor wants to do. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Todd.
$50 million investment for health care. The other big thing the governor spent a lot of time on besides mental health, we know that here in Madison, Wisconsin, the UW Nurses Union, they tried to strike a Supreme Court rule because of Act 10. They were not able to do so. And that is an issue that I believe Earl Ingram on his show from 8 until 11 on the Milwaukee and Fox Valley and now the Green Bay market in the Civic Media area, he has talked about as well. And I believe Luke Mathers and Brian Kelly on Dueling Tangents in the afternoon has also talked about this. Healthcare workers in the state need help. The governor's now tonight announcing $50 million investment for healthcare workers across the state. And childcare development, $30 million. Healthcare, a big focus for Governor Tony Evers tonight.
Todd, I'm joined now by Madison State Representative Francesca Hong. As our representative, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
What did you hear in the speech that you liked?
I heard comprehensive solutions and plans to complex problems that Wisconsinites have been begging the legislature to take care of. And so it's encouraging to have a governor who presented not only a plan, but really a lot of opportunities for folks to be able to improve their lives drastically. And I think that's what Wisconsinites want their legislators to do.
What do you see most enthusiastically you endorsing for passage as the session progresses?
You know, this investment in our care economy is critical. So to have a governor really reinforce how important it is to make investments in childcare, to make investments in K-12 education, to know that in our workforce is dependent on having access to what are currently barriers to the workforce. And so I think that is incredibly encouraging. And to know that we have a small business champion in the governor and someone who cares deeply about the fact that we don't have clean water for many Wisconsinites in this state, and it's something that should not be a Republican or Democrat issue. Clean water is what all Wisconsinites deserve.
We were just discussing a moment ago on the broadcast how striking it seemed the optics of the response to the applause lines. Now, it's not unusual for the governor's party to be more enthusiastic than the loyal opposition, but the Republicans were sitting on their hands throughout the whole time, even on issues that would seem to be issues that people can find common ground on. Did you notice that too?
I think the Republicans missed an opportunity to show that they are serious about solving a lot of the issues that Wisconsinites are demanding of us. And the fact is, we do have a workforce crisis, and we have a crisis in investment in dignified and high-paying jobs. And these are all things that we can address here in the legislature, but the party in power refuses to do that and would rather put politics and power above what the people of Wisconsin want.
Very good. Representative Francesca Hong of Madison, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having
me. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Well, Todd, that's some of the reflections from State Representative Francesca Hong. I don't know if the other feed that we have is going to feature the Republican response.
I believe we have to cut away at the top of the hour here for other programming. So stay tuned. We'll have all that Republican response in the morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. But thank you, Terry. Great job as always there. Our news director, Terry Bell, we appreciate you and for the coverage tonight.
Thank you, Todd.
Absolutely. That will conclude our coverage for tonight's State of the State Address. A big thank you to everyone who made this broadcast happen, including executive producers Sage Weil and Mike Crute, our producer-engineer, the amazing Evan Preston, producer-announcer Terry Barr, engineers Brian Kelly, Luke Mathers, Jorge Reina, and Corey Hartman, Vice President of Sales Director Roxanne Charles, Administrative Support Alice Schneiderman, our fellow hosts and anchors Dominic Silva, Mike Crute, Earl Ingram Jr., and Pat Kreitlow, and above all, you for listening. And for our Civic Media News Director, Terry Bell, I'm Todd Allball, and on behalf of this entire Civic Media News team, we thank you for joining us, and make it a good night.